Hi there. Have you been a little bored listening to some of those podcasts lately?
Listen, I hope you're not in the car right now with some kids. Because I'm about to drop some F-bombs. This ain't your average fucking podcast. Looking up music,
we like this cow. It's kind of one of those things, it's like a duck. You know, you see a duck in the water, right? The duck looks like it's cool, but the duck's freaking working hard under the water. Wow, I'm working hard, working hard. That's how our place is. We look cool, but we're working hard.
Welcome. You are now listening to the Duck Legs Podcast. We are physical therapy students here trying to bring you raw, honest, and ultimately funny material while we interview the experts of our field.
I was brought up listening to Smodcast, Kevin Smith, and Nerdist, man. I was brought up listening to comedy podcasts. So when we were thinking about making a physical therapy podcast, I was like, we're going to make a comedy podcast that happens to talk about physical therapy.
Exactly.
Welcome to the Duck Legs.
So where are we at, Evan? Who's up next?
All right. So I have a question from Josh Clark from the University of St. Mary. So
that's Hey, Joshy boy.
Hey, Josh.
He asks Lisa, and you kind of already indirectly answered this, so you can take whatever direction you want, as always. What characteristics do you appreciate the most about your PT? And I feel like this is going to be an even more in-depth question because he's not, I'm not sure he was aware before he listened that you are, you know, you've seen Eric for a while now. So it's going to be deeper answers.
Yeah. Eric graduated from Regis in 09. And when I first started working with him, he was a clinic director at another clinic near where I live. And then the owner of that clinic decided to sell his clinic to Eric and his wife, who's also a PT, Ashley Christensen. He's just, I know this sounds very maybe sentimental, but he's just exactly the person I needed. Like, I needed PT in a big way, but I didn't just need PT. I needed Eric. I needed him. Because in his backstory, he's got two lovely parents who I think he described to me once as hippies, which if you met them, you wouldn't say those are a couple of, you know, older hippies. They're great people. I love them. I'm not sure if they know how much I love them, even if it's indirect through their son, but he was raised by two very service-oriented people. His mother was a special education teacher before he retired, and Eric used to tutor the kids in that class, apparently some of whom had CP and others had other issues. And he was also a camp counselor at Easter Seals Day Camp. And a couple of decades or few prior to that, I was an Easter Seals camper. So he knew the environment that I had been in, and he understood a lot of what I was going through, I think, psychologically. Or if he didn't, he was very good at faking it. I guess my diagnosis didn't intimidate him. Mm. And later, after he figured out how he was going to help me, I don't think my personality intimidated him either. He's exactly the kind of person I need to make PT progress with. Like there are other PTs at the clinic that I've worked with incidentally off and on, but he's been my primary and I want him to continue to be my primary because we're used to each other and we have a shorthand that I don't quite have yet with the others. Although I'm fine when he leaves because I know he's trained the others well. And like I said, he hired two of the students that I work with. So I have options and I have people who know me. He's just what I needed. I mean, like he cares. He wasn't intimidated by the neuro factor, or at least he didn't project that. I mean, he could have easily said, well, you know, she's neuro. I know a really good neuro PT across town or whatever. He didn't do that. And at the time when I first started with him 8 years ago, I had this vague notion that I was neuro, but I had no appreciation for how much there is a heavy bias against neuro if you're ortho. Like the two are, you know, entirely different camps, and they shouldn't be, because that doesn't help with treatment, and it doesn't help with social integration for people who are neurologically involved and want to be part of society without having to beg for crumbs, you know?
Mm.
I just love Eric to bits. I tell him I hate him all the time. He's like, I know.
It always helps to have that shorthand, especially when you know somebody really well. And it's like, yeah, it's perfect.
Well, I mean, other than my immediate family and my job, at 8 years, he's the longest relationship I've ever been in.
Yeah. Awesome. Good question, Josh.
Yeah. I hope that helps. I wish I could be more specific. I could say it's the way he parts his hair, but
that probably helps. That helps probably.
I think it's just the actionables. Everything you say is so actionable, and really what I got out of that is just be likable. Just be, you're going to have the technical skills. You have that taken care of. It's just a matter of understanding that you're not seeing a patient, you're seeing a person. And I feel like the vibe I get every time I have a conversation with you is that there's so much more going on. It's the whole idea of you never know what somebody, you know, might be going through or experiencing, because you're always the star of your own show. And if we can step out of that mindset, that's kind of what that's kind of just what resonates with me. Every time that you say something, I'm like, oh, that's right. I need to think about that. Think about that aspect. It's not about the PT. And yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, it's a good follow-up. Another question, if that's cool, Jared.
Oh yeah. Finish them out. Make sure you get all the questions.
So there's one more, and it's from Eddie Ernst. I'm sure you guys have seen him.
He's shout out to Eddie.
Eddie Ernst.
Eddie.
Yeah, he asked a good question, and Eddie, I hope you don't mind. I'm gonna twist it a little bit. Okay. His question originally was, what do you think lacked from your own rehab process? Which you definitely obviously can answer that. I think you're also more equipped to answer just based off of who you are and your own experience. I think you're better equipped also to answer, what do you think lacks from maybe the rehab process for, you know, I guess generally speaking in the United States? What do you think is something we can work on?
For the entire PT country?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What do we suck at?
It's just a little broad. And let me correct Eddie just a little bit, very gently, because I love him and I don't want to hurt him, is that I've never been rehabbed. You guys understand why?
Yes, absolutely. You've told me that before.
Okay. All right. Let's just recap for the people who don't know. Okay. Rehab is when you've been injured and then they do something to you and then you're not injured anymore. Okay. What I go through in PT most of the time, unless I'm dealing with something that's intermittently acute, which doesn't seem to happen anymore because I'm 53, it's all habilitation. And, you know, I appreciate the question, but the premise is wrong. And it's hard to answer a question effectively if you have completely a different premise. And he's not asking me a question I can answer in the traditional sense, which is fine. But I've never really
let Eddie know he's wrong.
Yeah, I'll tell Eddie that he's totally wrong.
I love Eddie, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, I have this baseline that is so out of whack compared to what most people, most students would be familiar with.
I understand.
I've never been able to stand on one foot. You know? I can't do it. I can't walk backwards and not hold on to something. I can't walk forwards anymore and not hold on to something. Okay. So I think a little bit, if you want to expand the client base that you're comfortable with dealing with treating, is to get rid of this idea that everybody's in rehab. Everybody's not in rehab. There are a ton of us who've never been in rehab. We don't have something to get back to. We have something to get to. And it's something I tried to explain in my last podcast with Jerry Durham and Eric, my PT. We did a podcast together, I was mentioning earlier before we were recording, episode 19 on Jerry's Jerry Durham PT site, episode 19. It's like, okay, if you're a patient with a congenital injury or an injury that's so old that you don't remember not having it, your sense of loss doesn't really start until you're in your 40s. And even then, that's only incremental. What I experienced is not really a sense of loss in the traditional sense, meaning when I was a kid and in my 20s and 30s. It's not a sense of loss. It's a sense of absence. I didn't lose something. In order to lose something, you have to have it to begin with. Mm. What I feel is primarily a sense of absence, because I'm aware that other people are much better off physically than I am and can do more than I can do. Okay. So the psychology of treating somebody who's congenital and the psychology of treating somebody who's a weekend warrior that got injured in a marathon, or somebody who has had a car accident at the age of 40 and is now suddenly in a wheelchair, that psychology is completely different. Okay. And one isn't better than the other. It's just different. Okay. I know that my body is whacked. Okay. There's a certain amount of play that Eric and I have in what we can do to maximize my functionality. But beyond that, we know we're screwed. You know, most of my treatment now is about mitigating losses and keeping me safe and keeping me moving enough so that my body doesn't atrophy any more than it has to. But somebody who's 20, who's in a car accident, they're used to having a normal body and being strong and healthy and being able to eat whatever they want because their arteries haven't caught up with them. And, you know, for me, that's some faraway Shangri-La place that I'll never get to visit. So it's a sense of absence, not a sense of loss. Now, I do experience some sense of loss between now and, say, maybe went back when I was like 40. So there's a decrease in function, despite the fact that technically CP is not progressive, that I've had to deal with now. So I do feel some sense of loss compared to my earlier middle age. But mostly it's just a sense of absence. I'm not like everybody else. Nobody wants to look at me. Nobody wants to talk to me. Nobody wants to date me and that, you know, play the violins. But it puts you in a different category. Or the other side of not having anybody want to deal with you because they're uncomfortable around disabled people is the people who think that disabled people are the greatest thing since sliced bread, and the code word here is inspirational. And there's a video online that was put out as a TED Talk by somebody by the name of Stella Young, who's since passed on. She's a wheelchair user. And she talks about the social model of disability, which is very important, that people aren't disabled by their physical circumstances. They're disabled by the society that they live in that doesn't know how to cope with them. Mm. And the other thing was, she talked a great deal about what, and I'm quoting here, what she called inspiration porn, as in pornography. It's not actual porn, but right. It talks about the lionizing of disabled people as, oh, they're so different. They're so much better. They're so plucky. They're so determined. They're so, I want to climb a mountain, even though I don't have any legs, kind of thing. Like, I just want to be a normal person and get through my day. You know?
Yeah.
And the idea that we have to either be on a pedestal or completely ignored, that there's no middle ground, that there's no seeing me as a regular person. I mean, I've seen some people online, and I've seen it more than once. It's like, I'm uncomfortable treating somebody who has something that I've never experienced. Like, you really want every orthopedic or neurological issue that you're ever going to treat to be experienced by you personally before you will agree or feel comfortable to treat it? You're going to spend a lot of time in the hospital and in a clinic as a patient. That's just crazy. You have to be able to riff off what you know. You have to be able to assume, until you know otherwise, that the person that you're treating that's sitting across from you is 99% just like you. You know, I walk funny, you know, that's, and my disability impacts greatly on my life, but my disability, and I'll say this again, and I've said it before, my disability is not my life. I'm not looking to be somebody's hero. Don't freaking call me inspirational. Don't ever say that to a person. Specifically, don't ever say that to a child. And don't ever say it to a parent either. Because people grow up thinking that their kids are special. And yeah, everybody's special, okay? In the sense that everybody has something unique and different to offer. Everybody's valuable, okay? But if you start using those special words for special people, and people start to believe it, and then when they realize the rest of the world doesn't think they're that great, then it's like, okay, I can't play hero, and I'm dirt. I don't know. Maybe I'm not explaining it right. Does that make sense?
That makes a ton of sense.
So I don't want to be special. I just don't want to be special. I just want to get through my day and not hurt as much as possible and have some friends and maybe a boyfriend and maybe a husband. But, you know, I'm out of that realm because...
It's one extreme or the other, it sounds like what you're saying.
Right. It's like, I just want to be ordinary. Please, God, I just want to be ordinary.
Yeah, I definitely got the visual of inspiration porn. That definitely resonates.
Yeah, Dustin, in my interview with him at Senior Rehab Podcast, we were talking about how people periodically post the only disability is a bad attitude.
Oh, my
God.
That
really freaking infuriates me for reasons I hope I don't have to explain. Mm-hmm. And Stella talks about that in the TED Talk. But, yeah, I would recommend that you guys look that up on YouTube. Like I said, she's passed now, but she's, it was a phenomenal 15-minute talk of, like, the stupid stuff that people assume.
Yeah, we'll definitely check that out. Mm-hmm. And where can people find you, Lisa, and reach out to you?
Twitter mostly. I was on Facebook for a while, but I'm not really happy with Zuckerberg, so I got off, deleted my account.
Yeah, he's done some questionable things.
Political conversation we can have.
Yeah.
Another time, I'll buy the beer if you drive.
Oh, yeah.
Or we can Lyft it. I'm getting good at using Lyft now. I'm trying to debate whether my car's like 12 years old, and I don't know how long it's going to last. So I'm trying to debate whether it'd be a good idea for me to just use Lyft since I work from home. Commuting isn't quite the issue for a person that drives. But at any rate, yeah, Lisa Mack. So LISAMAC, the letter N as in Nancy, cheese, all spelled out normally. So Lisa Mack N cheese. That's the only social media platform I'm on. Check out Jerry's podcast, episode 19, Healthcare Disruption. That's on his website, jerrydurhampt.com. Check out Senior Rehab Podcast. I believe that was a 2016 interview. It's called Patient Perspective. I want to say it was August of 2016. I'm not sure. Check out Two Nobodies, Culture for Dialogue. That was April of last year, I believe. And then there was an earlier one that Jerry did, but it's escaping me which platform that was on. That one's kind of a dead link, I think. But check out those three for if any of this resonates with you. And maybe if it doesn't, maybe it will. I don't know.
For sure. And Edwin, what about you? Where can people hit you up?
You can find me at Edwin Porras, S-P-T. Porras is P as in Paul, O-R-R-A-S. And I have pretty much anything else I have will be from Twitter. It's usually where I'm at.
Hell yeah. Edwin, Lisa, Eddie. Who else sent us questions?
Josh, oh, man,
Josh, Larry. Thank y'all so much for making this episode happen.
Larry. Thank you to you guys. Appreciate it. Sorry for the trains rolling through. You know, you got to get that freight.
We're just glad you're safe, Edwin.
I'm safe.
I work for a shipping company. I play with trains all day long.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank y'all so much, Lisa. You guys have a great day.
This is fun. We should do this again.
For sure.
Thank you so much, all of you, especially you, Edwin.
Oh, of course, definitely.